Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We begin each hour with our impact segment, 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. And we begin our impact segment with a guest who is the senior pastor at Grace Community Church. We hear Grace to you on this radio station early in the morning at 6:30 and in the evening at 7:30. He's president of the Masters University and Seminary. Pastor John MacArthur, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
John, thank you for being on today. And I know we've got some things that we were going to talk about, which I would like to get to maybe later in Impact, but I think it would be very valuable and important to talk a little bit about, as we were just talking previous to having you on the air, I made mention of the Charlottesville attack and what's going on and white supremacy and how do we respond as evangelicals, racism, et cetera, et cetera. Can you share a little bit of a biblical perspective on how we can look to this and recognize we all need to be involved in denouncing such things?
Yeah, and I think, Frank, we need to understand the roots of this. The roots of this are really not political. They're not even economic. They're moral, and they have to do with the fallenness of the human heart. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. The first crime was a killing. That basically defines the kingdom of darkness. That defines the realm of Satan. You know, Jesus even said to the leaders in Israel, "You are of your father, the devil. You're either a child of God or a child of Satan." And those are the only two possibilities. And for those in the kingdom of darkness, hatred, anger, hostility, harm, and even murder are just par for the course. That's why God has designed mitigations into the culture. That's why God has given every human being a conscience, so that at least you start out with some internal restraint. That's why God designed the family and the rod in the family, so that children can be harnessed and can be taught, even through some inflicted, you know, reasonable amount of pain, to be socially contributing to the well-being of society. And that's why God has ordained the police and given them a sword, because this fallen world is just completely captive to hatred and hostility at the most vicious level. And of course, it doesn't matter where it comes from. I mean, it may have various political forms, whether it's white supremacy or Black Lives Matter or whatever other form of it, whether it's Kim Jong-un or the Middle Eastern ISIS. This is how the worst in this fallen world conduct themselves. And, of course, it has to be denounced on every level, but it also has to be understood that the remedy really is not a political one. I mean, we need to restrain it by strong laws that are enforced at the highest level, with justice being essentially demanded and meted out. But this is what life is in the fallen world in which we live, and it surfaces itself in so many ways. I think part of it, too, Frank, is that, you know, this has always been going on in the world. Hatred among people, tribal slaughters have been going on throughout human history. It just happens to be in this time and period of human history we know about everything. So it seems like it may be even more overwhelming now, when in fact this is human history. Mm.
John, when you say that the remedy isn't necessarily political, is there an inherent warning in those of us that are followers of Jesus to not get too caught up in the president should have done this, the president didn't do that, or somehow the solution is only found primarily in politics and the political process?
Yeah, the solution is not in politics. The solution is not in education. The solution is not in science. The solution is not in some kind of economic advancement for people who are deprived. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Man is at his most base level, angry, hostile, and he's really a threat to kill. So he has to be restrained. And from the external standpoint, again, that's why you have conscience. That's why you have family. And of course, when the family breaks down, you know, when you pollute the conscience by teaching false standards of morality, when you literally twist morality, when you put good for evil and evil for good, you reverse everything and you create a generation of people who have no clue what morality is. All they know is they think they're entitled to their own desires and their own will. And then when you weaken the family, here are people who have no real sense of morality, no hard, strong sense of right and wrong. They haven't been raised in such a way as to be disciplined in those kinds of things that make socially acceptable human beings out of them. And then you have families that are just torn up by all kinds of animosity and hatred on all levels and across all of the spectrum. And then you start, you know, looking at the fact that the police are continually denounced and discredited. And you have a formula for disaster. But again, this is human history. The answer isn't political. The answer isn't, as I said, any of those other things. The answer is the transformation of the heart. The first thing that defines a gospel-transformed heart is love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. That is the defining attitude of the believer. Jesus made that. That's the statement he made, and the apostles followed it up by saying, if you don't have love, you don't belong to Christ. So only Christ can change the heart, and only changed hearts can create the kind of love that has an impact on the force of the fallen heart in society.
Pastor John MacArthur is my guest. John, an interview that we've done previously, I brought up the tragic slaying of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and you happened to be in that area when it occurred. And racism existed then, it exists now, and there's also, I hesitate to say this, but there's racism in the church. I mean, there's some of us that say we are followers of Jesus, and yet we're caught up in this devil's way in which he wants to keep us separate as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, that is just such a repulsive thing. And as I said, you know, the defining reality of a true Christian is love. And that love knows no bounds, certainly not racial bounds, ethnic bounds. And where you have that hostility and that racism and those kinds of attitudes, I mean, you have a very legitimate right to ask the question, are these Christian people? Are these Christian people? That's just antithetical to everything that is characteristic of a regenerate heart. But again, look, we're still living in a fallen world, and we still have remaining sin in us. And even Christian people can listen to the anger and the hostility and, you know, sort of OD on political rhetoric and find themselves literally sort of pushing that supernatural love that the Holy Spirit has poured abroad in their hearts, pushing it down and becoming victimized by the ubiquitous temptation to hate people. I remember some years ago when George Bush was in office, I was asked to come and talk with some of the White House guys because I did a message on turning the mission field into the enemy. And I was talking about the Republicans and conservatives who began to see Democrats and liberals and progressives as the enemy rather than the mission field. And it was an amazing response when some of the people in the White House kind of woke up and said, that's exactly what we had done. And instead of showing compassion to them and loving them, we saw them as the enemy and not the mission field. And we had some great discussions about that. But it's easy in their case, of course, you know, they're fighting that battle at that very highest level in Washington, and it's easy to get sucked up into that. And there's no place for that, but it's nothing new. Look, the Jews throughout history hated the Gentiles, and hate is just part and parcel of what it means to be fallen.
John, when you heard the news Saturday, when it started breaking of this incident, would you be transparent and just share your thoughts initially? And I'll do an addendum to that. I don't want to minimize this tragedy, but my heart also is not only grieved, but says this is a spiritual problem. This is why Jesus came into the world, to free us.
My initial thought, you might understand this, was to immediately go back in my memory to standing at the memorial not too long ago in Oklahoma City, the memorial for all those people that died when Timothy McVeigh blew up that building. And immediately my mind was back there, and I that memorial, by the way, is a powerful, moving memorial. And I thought of the horror of that, that's represented in an ongoing way in that city. And it was like, here we go again. This is as reprehensible as any kind of hatred, any kind of animosity. Look, you might not like the fact that they're going to take down a statue, but come on. If that's worth harming other people, vilifying other people, hating other people, then you've got a pretty shallow life, and you've allowed yourself to be driven by things that don't really matter at all. But this whole culture seems to me to be just on that edge of anger breaking out in rash ways. And look, I see that at every level. I see it in the hostility in just the general society. And then, of course, in these kinds of things that reach that level, it's just kind of the boiling over of what seems to be just kind of bubbling all the time.
Last question as it applies to this, and then I want to spend a moment with you about some of the things we had talked about that we were going to address, New Earth viewpoint, Christian worldview, etc. You just made mention of our culture is almost on the brink of anger breaking out. We know if we look in the Bible, nothing is really different. This is sin. This is where we've been then and we are now, and we need a Savior and the Lord of our life. That right. being said, anything that you can add to the conversation that says, yeah, that's true, but my goodness, it's been decades since I've really seen this unrest, this spirit of rebellion. We've got a man in the White House that virtually no one foresaw him becoming president, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, the grounds are where they are now. Any way in which you can address that and how we as true followers of Jesus and Scripture can recognize, look, we've got to be really discerning here. We've got to be bold and we've got to be careful.
Yeah, you know, one way to answer that would be to say that this political scene has reached a point where there is so much hostility, so much hatred, so much anger that the whole American system is ground to a halt. I mean, the founding fathers did what they did to create checks and balances that would disallow some, you know, single branch or single party to run the nation. But so that they were forcing people to work together, the judicial, the congressional and the presidential branches all working together, parties working together. But what we're seeing now is just this extreme animosity and hatred driven at anybody that doesn't agree with somebody. And of course, it all landing on the president in a way that I think is reflective of how far this culture has gone. So I think we've gone to a point now where this is just beyond anything that we've seen in the past. And the answer to all of this, of course, is for the church to demonstrate wisdom and love and kindness and mercy and to love all people of all races, all ethnic identities, all parties, all economic status, endlessly to embrace them in the name of Christ. You know, one of the things that I love about Grace Community Church and I love about the Master's University and the Master's Seminary is it looks like L.A. It just looks like L.A. And L.A. is this incredibly wonderful melting pot out of which the Lord is building his church and raising up leaders for the future. And that's how it should be.
Pastor John MacArthur is my guest. John, we've got a handful of moments, maybe 5, even 10 minutes if we can push it. I know that we had talked previously about maybe talking a little bit about the importance of recognizing creation. Recently, I did a program with a man who is a scientist. We talked about how old is the earth. There's some new earthers, some old earthers. Talk about the importance of a proper biblical view of creation as it applies to also some of the things we hear like, well, climate change, global warming. How can we compartmentalize and be clear on how we need to address those issues?
Yeah, look, Frank, and I know some people are going to think this is simplistic, but I'm just going to say this. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 says that God created the entire universe and everything in it in 6 days. That's what it says. There's nothing there but six-day creation. And it's pretty clear that those are 24-hour days. They were evening and morning, the first day, evening and morning, the second day. And repeatedly throughout the text of Scripture, the reference goes back to the fact that God created, and he created in that period of time. So for me, look, the only thing we know about creation is what the Creator said. Nobody was there. Nobody was there. You say, well, you know, science can tell us about creation. No, it can't, because creation was a miracle, and the miracle is not subject to scientific law. So if you say creation was some kind of normal, natural process, then you would have to overturn the book of Genesis, which says that God miraculously, powerfully created everything in 6 days and then he rested. That's a massive, massive miracle. And that is the Bible's explanation for the world. Now, here's why that's important. If you say you don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. Now we have a problem, because if you don't believe the Bible, at that point, Genesis 1 and 2, where it begins, then how are we supposed to be sure that you're going to believe the Bible anywhere else? But it's not, you can't define creation by evolution, because that's not what Genesis does. So it's a question of biblical authority. You know, this is the single doctrine that has preserved the Master's University into its 90th year in an unwavering commitment to Scripture. We believe all of it, starting in Genesis 1 and 2. And science cannot overturn that at all, because science can't explain the miraculous. You don't look for a scientific explanation of the resurrection of Jesus, or walking on water, or raising people from the dead. You don't look for a scientific explanation of any of the miracles of Scripture. There is no scientific explanation, and the biggest miracle ever is creation. If you accept that at the beginning of Genesis, and it's so important, because here's the issue. That's the place where the Bible is most attacked, and science seems to have the power to make that attack look legitimate. So where the Bible is most attacked is the place where Christians have to stand in defense of its authority and its truth. That's what has anchored us for all these 90 years.
So standing in the defense and the authority of Holy Scripture, do we even get into conversations about climate change, global warming, and some of the things that seem to be so dominating in today's mainstream culture?
Well, look, I don't doubt that there's climate change. I don't purport to know that, but this is a disposable planet.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Look, if you think we're messing up the planet, wait till you see what Jesus does to it. You know, the day is coming when he's going to destroy the entire universe and create a new heaven and a new earth. The work that God has designed to do in redemption and to bring about the new heaven and the new earth is according to God's schedule. I don't mean you want to be irresponsible, but we can't preserve the planet. We can't preserve the universe. You know, God created it and said, enjoy it. Draw everything you can out of it. It's pretty incredible to think of the riches that God put in this earth. And they're staggering, incredible things which he gave us so that we would glorify him. But he also told us it's fallen, it's going to get worse and worse, it's going to decline the law of entropy, it's breaking down, and I'm going to come back and finally destroy it and create a new heaven and a new earth that will never pass away. It's not up to us to preserve the planet or preserve the universe. It's up to us to glorify God and realize he is in control of it.
John, last question. Part of the reason why we are grateful to have you on somewhat of a regular basis is to always invite you to talk about Masters University and Seminary. You just alluded to decades of solid scriptural biblical teaching. Anything you want to say about the Masters University or Seminary?
Well, yeah, I mean, all the things that I say are just reflective of what our great faculties believe and affirm. I mean, we just have the best of the best, and we're committed to the Word of God 90 years now, and the Lord has blessed in ways that are far beyond our comprehension. We are always kind of in awe over what the Lord is doing, the students he brings us, the faculty we have. We're serious about Scripture. You know, I worry when kids go to a college, just any college, because they're going to be attacked. You know, I go back to Psalm 1, don't sit in the seat of scoffers. You know, don't walk in the path of the ungodly. Boy, that's what is going on in so many university settings, and that kind of attack can cut the conviction right out of the heart of a young person. So we're thankful for all that the Lord is doing in our school, and we want to be faithful to the Word of God. And we don't want to be legalistic, we're not, but we want to love Christ, exalt Christ, love people, love his word, take his word to the ends of the earth. And our commitment is to missions. Our kids are all over the planet. Our graduates of our seminary are in about 30 different countries in the world where they've set up training centers to train pastors and church leaders at the invitation of all these countries. So God always honors his word, and he uses the people that are faithful to it. So we just want to keep cranking them out.
John MacArthur is president of the Masters University and Seminary. He's also senior pastor of Grace Community Church. GTY.org, grace to you, GTY.org is the website for his radio program, Grace to You. And masters.edu is the website for the college and the university, masters.edu. John, thank you for your time today, and thank you for being so flexible and willing to talk about this horrific tragedy of this past weekend, and I look forward to many more. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a privilege, Frank. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
God bless you as well.